Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Trust the Tape. It is Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl-winning NFL draft scout. Happy to have you in as, again, we are now creeping closer and closer to the NFL draft. I mean, we are about a week and a half away.
Yep.
This thing's getting close. We're brought to you by the deliciousness that is Boomer Jacks. We encourage you for all of your sports watching needs as we have the NBA playoffs and, of course, draft day. Go find your closest Boomer Jacks location. They've got amazing burgers, wings, fries, sides, salads. No matter what, there's something for everybody at Boomer Jacks. Of course, you can get delicious cold beers, wonderful cocktails. They've got everything to fit your dining needs. Go to Boomer Jacks. We are so happy to have them of a sponsor of Trust the Tape here, and we encourage you to go to Boomer Jacks.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it was that you were mentioned in the days, and I was thinking, okay, how do I balance working on my draft and going to Boomer Jacks? But you're absolutely right about that. A lot of 17 different locations to go and hang out with. They kind of a one-stop shop for everything when it comes to food, to beverage, to just the overall good times. And you know what, Wooly Bully? When we have a good time, we're usually talking about the draft, right?
Oh, heck yes, we are. Now, there's so much to get into, especially now as we're kind of getting a feel for maybe where teams are looking and how this top 10 specifically might unfold. But I'm hearing a lot of rumors, Broaddus.
Mm-hmm.
The Jags at one. Okay, this might go a multitude of different directions. And people are penciling in Aiden Hutchinson, the edge defender mm-hmm. from Michigan. And a lot of people think Aiden Hutchinson might be the best overall player in this draft. Now, you've been working on your top 50 players.
I have.
Now, you do not have Aiden Hutchinson as your number one guy.
I have Kayvon Thibodeau as my number one. Sauce Gardner, the cornerback from Cincinnati, would be number two. Charles Cross, the tackle from Mississippi State, would be three. And then I have Aiden Hutchinson, the edge from Michigan at that point. So he would be number four on my board.
Okay. So I think that's interesting. Is Thibodeau ranked ahead of Hutchinson for you? Is that a more of a traits thing? Is that a projection thing? What sets them apart in your mind?
You know what? I look at the way the body of work of both players. And, you know, there's questions about Thibodeau that people are having about, does he really love football? Does he really care? All those things that scouts like to kind of drum up.
Yeah.
You know, and people talk and all that. You know, Thibodeau to me is a kid, and this is what we need to get used to, Zach, in the world now that we live in with the NIL stuff, you know, the and if you don't know the name, imaging and likeness stuff, that these players are getting paid for that now, all right? So when you're in a situation like that, Thibodeau is a kid that has interest in his branding,
sure.
You know? And I don't think it, you know, I mean, that's, get ready. We're going to talk about this in our next, you know, Trusted Tape next year sometime, and it'll be, oh, well, hey, this kid cares about his branding. This kid does this.
It's probably just going to grow more
it's
and more
grow,
every year.
Exactly. Kids are going to care about their branding. And are you now going to ask the question of, oh, does he care about football, or does he care about making money? And so, you know, Thibodeau is a little bit different cat in that regard. I will say this about Aiden Hutchinson, though. I've watched games where I always try and have matchups in mind. You know what I'm saying? Okay, who is he playing that I could watch, you know, that can maybe give me a really good idea of how he's playing?
Right.
And then, you know, and then you go along and you're saying, oh, well, there's matchup. You know, you could watch the matchup of the Georgia offensive lineman against him, you know, Saylor. You know, mm-hmm. you could watch him, the tackles play. I mean, there's several of these linemen that you can watch that is like matchups. And there's times where I see Aiden Hutchinson not getting to the quarterback, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, is this, for the first overall player, is that something that I need to dive into further? I'm watching him play, and I'm like, okay, good pass rush there. Good. See, the same thing with Walker from Georgia. I see a good pass rusher.
Yeah.
I don't see a guy that's a top three pass rusher in this draft.
No, I don't disagree.
But he's a first-round talent and all that, but people are talking about these guys. You know, and Aiden Hutchinson, he might be the safest player in this draft because that's what – when you're talking first overall – you do not want to make that Jamarcus Russell pick.
Yes, you don't want to bust.
You don't want the bust. You don't want that guy. And so to me, I could see why people, Jacksonville, falling in love with Aiden. I could see it. Very safe. You know, you make your pick, you move on, and then you build your draft from there. Outstanding football player. Fourth player overall on my board.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me that rare guy, I think Thibodeau's got rare rush ability. I think Hutchinson's got really good pass rush ability.
It's interesting. I would actually go Ike Ekwonu.
Yeah.
The offensive tackle from NC State. I think he's the best player in this draft. And if I'm Jacksonville, I would take him number one. I think it's all about protecting the investment in Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
I think you build that offensive line. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a defensive end. But to your point, if I'm taking one number one overall, it's got to be a Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of these generational type of elite talents. And for me, I love Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's got an unbelievable game, a high motor type player. Yeah. I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to like about Thibodeau, but there's some stuff that does scare me a little
bit. That's.
And I could see him on draft day. We might be talking about a big slide when it comes to Thibodeau.
No. And you know what? That's when you look at how you build your board, everybody's going to see these guys completely different. I even thought about, and I like what you're saying about Ekwonu, the offensive tackle from North Carolina State. I struggled with is Sauce Gardner the corner from Cincinnati, the best player. He's one of the best players. I've got him at number two on my board. I'm one of these guys. I feel like I'm kind of on an island with Charles Cross there at that offensive tackle.
Oh, no. I see
a young Tyron Smith when he came out of USC.
It's the lower body.
Yeah.
It's the way – it's their stance.
Exactly.
It's almost – you can mirror – the stance of Tyron Smith and Charles Cross, it's identical. That's the first thing I noticed as well, and I heard you make that comparison. I'm like, I see exactly what Broadus is talking about here.
See, I just kind of feel like that those guys, I mean, you could smash holes in Thibodeau, you could smash holes in Cross, you could smash holes in Hutchinson, but maybe with Gardner and Ekwonu, like we're talking about, maybe you can't smash as many.
I think Ekwonu is the most well-rounded among both tackles. Yeah. I think Cross is the best pass protector. I've got Neal as the third.
Yeah, I do too.
Among the tackles. Now,
well, I got Stingley and Lloyd, Devin Lloyd from Utah. So Stingley would be six for me. Devin Lloyd would be seven, the linebacker from Utah. And then Evan Neal, the tackle from Alabama, I would have at eight.
Bulky, the GM for Jacksonville, and you know him.
Trent Bulky.
And we
not a big fan.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of interesting things about Trent Baalke. Now, if you go back to his time with San Francisco, and I've been listening and reading some chatter around the league. There's a lot of people that don't buy that they're going Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
With that first overall pick.
Could say Walker because of the Alden Smith comparison?
Yes, Alden Smith.
Man, I do
you
not
know,
see
DeForest
Alden
Spunk,
Smith.
Buckner.
Yeah.
Eric Armstead.
Yeah.
He's a guy, it seems like historically, he goes for those traits. He goes for the long arms. He goes for the unique athletic body type that Aiden Hutchinson doesn't have. Seems like even a Thibodeau would be more intriguing for him than an Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And I think that people would be surprised to see Hutchinson go number one to Jacksonville right now.
Yeah, Trent's in a little bit of a situation right now where this could very well be his last draft. You know, there's people around the league that were amazed that he survived what was happening. You know, and Doug Peterson really had to sign off on, you know, it wasn't one of those things when they were interviewing Doug. It's like, hey, listen, you know, we're going to, you know, the management was talking about, we were thinking about keeping Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, well, I need a job, and so, yeah, I'll sign off. But, you know, you think about Byron Leftwich, who had a shot at that job from Tampa.
Yeah.
They wanted to interview, and he didn't want to interview because of Trent Baalke. And, you know, and there was some stuff, even Dan Quinn from the Cowboys. You know, I don't know much about this Trent Baalke situation there. So, yeah, he is going to have to hit on this pick. Because if he doesn't, this time next year, you and I will be doing Trust the Tape again, and we'll be talking about Jacksonville with a different general manager.
No question. Looking at the top 10, I mean, it seems like there's a lot. If Walker doesn't end up being a surprise pick, number one, Trayvon Walker, the edge to Georgia, yeah, Jacksonville, which would be shocking, the rise that Walker's had from being a borderline
my
first 17th round
pick, best player on my board.
Holy cow, yeah, to number one.
Yeah.
But it seems the momentum building for him to even go to Detroit at two.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
Serious.
Well, okay, before that you and Eric came on board doing Trust the Tape with me, we would read mock drafts. Jeff and I would read mock drafts, and we would talk about, what about Walker? Yeah, Walker. It was like every time somebody picked a mock draft, the initial ones, Walker from Georgia, defensive end, was a pick for the Cowboys at 24, and everybody was really happy about
that. Sure.
And then all of a sudden it became, oh, wait, well, Walker's going to go to the Eagles at, you know, in the middle of the draft there. And so then it became, well, wait a minute, now Walker's going one or two overall? And you're going, oh, okay, whoa, what are we doing here? You know, there are some players that have made some meteoric, I don't know if I even used the right word.
No, you did.
Trying to
meteoric
say,
rise. You
yeah,
did. You
exactly.
Nailed that.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's amazing for somebody Louisiana educated.
No, you crushed it.
But yeah, he is in the scouting world, we call that getting air pumped into you.
Because uh-huh.
You rise when you get air pumped into you. And I could be dead balls wrong about him. But I think it's a really good player. Second overall
I think
player.
It speaks to this draft.
Yeah,
there's just not.
Oh, there's so much craziness.
That's why, to me, it's like I'm taking the tackles. If I have top picks, I'm going with the offensive tackles.
Safest route you can go right there. What's shown to us too is, and these wide receivers have a lot of questions, but wide receivers seem to be pretty safe now in the first.
True.
At least the last couple of drafts.
Okay,
have been that way.
That's a good point. There is, now I wonder if you're hearing anything about Kansas City and your buddy Andy Reid making a leap into the top 10 for one of these receivers. And specifically, the name that I've heard is Garrett Wilson, is the name that they might have an eye on from Ohio State.
Yeah, I think with Kansas City and Lance Zierlein, who's a highly respected NFL media scout, done this stuff for a long time. His father was a line coach for a long time in the NFL. He's grown up around the game, been around the game, just fine job down in radio in Houston. And Lance did something I thought was really creative on his last mock draft, and I'll point it out. He took a Kansas City and put them ahead of Dallas for Chris Olave.
Ooh, yeah.
So he traded to 23, which is Arizona, to grab Chris Olave ahead of the Cowboys, knowing that the Cowboys were potentially looking at wide receiver. And what he did was he took Burks off the board, and then he said, oh, the one receiver's left is Olave.
Okay.
So then now Dallas gets jumped. Well, then Dallas, you know, then is looking at, okay, are all the guards gone? What it looks like all our wide receivers are gone. You know, what direction would the Cowboys go then? You know, and I think anytime if you're a fan of a team and there's in these mocks now, instead of just picking all 32 out, there these people that are now incorporating trades and like why somebody would jump up. Kansas City is a very aggressive team. Very aggressive team. When my buddy John Dorsey was there, they traded up for Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, they moved up to 10. I mean, they were back in the draft.
Yeah. So to me, that's one of those things I think you have to be well aware of right now if you're a Cowboy fan, that people have an understanding of you're hunting guards. You're also hunting wide receivers here.
Is if they made a move into the top 10, do you not think Wilson would be the guy?
I think, you know, I think to me personally, I have Williams from Alabama. Jameson Williams is my number one wide receiver.
But, I actually love that.
Yeah, but Wilson's number two. So if you did the way I have it stacked for the receivers, Jameson Williams one, Wilson, Ohio State two, Burks, Arkansas three, Olave from Ohio State four.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think I'm a little weird when it comes to my receiver rankings.
Yeah.
I've got Burks 1.
Okay.
And the reason is I've articulated before with you on the draft show, and I think I give some of these guys a bump because he played with horrible quarterbacks.
Sure did.
And the knock on Burks, and when I've talked to other guys like David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com, people are wondering about, does he have a route tree?
Yeah.
They didn't really ask him to do a whole lot of creative things with his route running.
Right.
It's pretty much like a 9, and then we're going to give him the ball out of the backfield. We're going to throw some bubble screens to him.
Well, this is – okay, let's go back and look at history. Briles is the offensive coordinator there. Kendall Briles.
Son
of Art. How many times have we done Baylor wide receivers and say no creativity as route runners?
Yeah, Corey Coleman comes
to
mind.
How many guys have we said, oh, there's no creativity? The thing that I would worry about Burks the most if I was a Cowboys fan is Kellen Moore going to be creative enough to use a player like Burks?
My answer would be, if we're concerned about this, why is Kellen Moore still the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys?
That's what I'm saying, though. You know? But see, that's what I'm saying. Does Mike McCarthy take over? Does this, to me, people can complain about Amari Cooper and the route runner and all that stuff like that and everything. Do you feel like these receivers, CeeDee Lamb, have we seen the absolute best of CeeDee Lamb?
No, I don't believe so.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. If they take a receiver here, it might have to be a Chris Olave or somebody that knows how to run routes and how to get open.
I've got Olave, too.
Yeah.
It's tough because Olave and Wilson are so good, but I've talked to you about this before. I think Olave is a faster Keenan Allen. He's a guy to me that's just smooth as all hell.
I said Terry Glenn with better hands.
Ooh, I like that comparison, too.
Well, see, because I'm older.
Yeah.
Older scout.
I didn't get to watch Terry. Yeah, I saw Terry Glenn as a Cowboy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in the back half of his career.
Yeah. Terry Glenn,
super underrated player.
Terry Glenn with the New England Patriots, his rookie year, caught 90 balls. And it was like unheard of then. But if you call Chris Olave, same school, same kind of body type, run, get down.
Yeah.
Catch, run, get down. That's what Terry Glenn did. And I think this is a similar type of player to me, if you want to look at it.
And then there's Drake London. And Drake London, for me, is similar to a Mike Evans type, big body. And I give him an uptick as well because he's a dude everyone knew on the field.
Yeah.
He's getting the ball virtually every play.
Yeah.
The defense knows this. He's getting double, triple teamed. All he does is produce.
Now, you're absolutely right. Just on my top 50, Jameson Williams at 9, Garrett Wilson at 12. Treylon Burks at 14, and then Drake London Chris Olave at 19, and then Drake London at 22.
Okay, so this leads into another area of discussion I want to get to. And I know we do tend to lean some Cowboys heavy because we are based in Dallas. We do have a lot of people listening throughout the country
world.
And the world
here
at Trust the Tape. And some of you are not Cowboys fans, but... You know, Dalton Miller, who's a good buddy of ours, now works
does a fine job.
The Pro Football Network. He put out a tweet. Cowboy fans at 24, if you have the option between Chris Olave, the receiver from Ohio State, Treylon Burks, we were just talking about from Arkansas, Kenyon Green, the guard from A&M, and Zion Johnson, the guard from Boston College, who do you take at 24? And I said, look, you know, and this kind of goes for, in the argument, best player available and best player available versus need. I just don't believe it. To me, it doesn't matter how good your receivers are.
If you can't block. That's true.
We've seen that recently, Kansas City in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, and I got some pushback. Well, what about Joe Burrow and the Bengals? I think that is an extreme outlier that we've seen once in the history of
NFL. But it happened. It just happened.
It happened, but it's recent. Think that speaks to just how damn good and how just a rare talent Joe Burrow is. I think he's already the fifth best quarterback for me in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's sensational. But I don't think that a Dak Prescott is on that level.
No, he's not. And that's why it's, again, you have to give Dak Prescott help.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to ask Dak Prescott as a Cowboy fan to carry this team, I think you're learning about Dak Prescott. You're going into year seven now. You know, what are your thoughts about Dak Prescott? I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying as a Cowboy fan, you're looking at your quarterback and you're going, are we really, is he going to make others around him better? Or do we have to equip him to make him better? I think that's the question you now have to ask yourself. And I think the Cowboys, you know, Dak Prescott, by being very patient, made himself a $40 million a year quarterback. You know, that he really has, by being patient.
Yeah.
Not signing, not jumping in there, not. He did it himself.
Even as a player.
But you know, you're right.
Dak doesn't want to take the shots. And we saw Dak with really talented receivers.
Sure.
But not a good offensive line.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
And how did the offense look? Not good. And a lot of people get annoyed where, all right, the Cowboys are the only team in the league that the only way they can have a good offensive line is continue to pump first-round resources in there. I get it. But to me, I'm in love with Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
I might like him more than a lot of people. I think he is
you
a
and I are
people
die. Yeah, mover. You and I are dying on that island together.
I think he's phenomenal.
Because to me, if you gave me a choice just on receivers or guards, I have the receivers rated higher. I have questions. I have more questions about the guards than I do. And that, you know, Zion Johnson, you and I are going to die on the Green.
Yeah, I think Green's way better than Zion Johnson.
And see, that's what I'm saying. That to me, that's going to be, they might not think that way. Their stack, and I'm talking about the Cowboys or anybody around the league. I'm going to talk to my guys, my gang of seven guys, and those are the guys that the general managers and player personnel guys around the league, and see which one, Green or Johnson, Green or Johnson, Green or Johnson. I'm going to be interested because if it all comes back Zion Johnson, then I have a feeling, and you know, say what you want, it's what the Rams try to avoid, groupthink.
Sure.
Groupthink. But the league will say that Zion Johnson's more athletic, and Zion Johnson does this, and John, you know, I just watch the players. It's tough.
I mean, when you see a Kenyon Green, who, and I think his best position is guard.
Yeah.
When you kick him out to left tackle, and he's kicking Will Anderson's ass, who's going to be a top five pick next year, and the best pass rusher in the draft, probably from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty unbelievable.
See, that to me, I totally agree with you. I think for Cowboys and their fans, guard, whichever one, and then it's going to be wide receiver likely at two. Now, cornerback sneaks into the mix maybe a little bit here. I kind of felt like that maybe that the Cowboys would wait. I thought the pick at 88 would be a defensive player. The pick at 56 could be Sam Williams, who personally myself, third round grade, I could see the Cowboys making the pick. They've invested too much time. Does Dan Quinn get to make a pick at 56? Or are they going to say, no, Dan, we need picks 24 and 56 to be offensive players, and then 88 could be the first defensive player?
If they do end up going receiver, do you think that they then feel pressured to go O-line at 56 and maybe a guy like Sean Ryan from UCLA
I do. I think that you're on to something there. I think that, you know, maybe Hayes, the guard from Oklahoma, would be a consideration. Sailor from Georgia, who's a tackle who converts to guard. I really do, you know, like the kid, the really natural guard, Schaefer at Georgia, who played next to Sailor on that left side there. You know, we'll see. I mean, I think to me there, the pressure would be to go an offensive lineman, but man, that has been a struggle for them. When you look at, they've invested a second round pick in Connor Williams. He played out, never got the second contract. They had second round grades on Connor McGovern. 1-2-1 was the grade. High second round grade. Got him in the third. Didn't work out. They're in a bind right now because they've basically missed on two guards.
Yeah.
So let's see if that, you know, maybe the third time's the charm.
I do want to look at some of these corners.
Okay.
And we've already talked about Sauce Gardner, corner one, Stingley two.
Yeah.
I do end up actually thinking Stingley is going to be the best corner in this draft. You probably have more intel than I do with your LSU guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now, character stuff, there might be some stuff here.
Well, let me tell you what it is.
Please enlighten me, because I think we're learning a lot about Kelvin Joseph here locally now, and we need to take that seriously.
This time last year when we were talking about Kelvin Joseph, I was told from my LSU buddies that, like, hey, he's not in trouble, but trouble is always within arm's length. That was always the statement that I got about that. So, you know, and then the guys at Kentucky were like, hey, good guy, but not always reliable. So you were hearing those two things. So when he got picked, you had an idea. The thing about Stingley that my guys at LSU were telling me is not an alpha male. Usually you get a guy like Sauce Gardner and guys like that who are just, when they come in the room, the room lights up, there's energy and all that. With Stingley, he's a very just easygoing guy, but he's not an alpha male.
Okay.
They also say this guy needs a big brother.
Okay.
So, okay. If you're mock drafting teams, look at Minnesota at 12, who's also got Patrick Peterson playing from LSU there. That would be the type of fit. Now, if Dallas were to take Stingley, Diggs could be that guy for him.
Okay.
Diggs could be the guy that helps him. What everybody's telling me is Stingley needs a big brother. He's not going to be the leader, but he's going to play great for you, but he needs the big brother.
Yeah, because just sheer talent. He might be the most talented football player in the draft, period.
No question.
And for me,
I can't stick him at one overall because of my LSU ties.
Which is totally fair. I get that. But last year changed my thought process.
The last two
a lot.
Years have been, he hasn't played.
Right. And I, you know, I would kind of knock a player for that.
Yeah.
Because it would make me nervous.
Yeah.
But when you see what Jamar Chase and Micah Parsons, for example, did after not playing for a year and how they just hit the ground running their rookie year, it's like, I don't know if that matters. If a kid can just play, and when you look at what he did his freshman year, and the competition, not only in practice that he was against,
but
being the best corner in the country on a national championship team.
He was a freshman All-American, and then the team lost a lot of key pieces. You were talking about the quarterback, the wide receiver. They lost a lot of pieces along the way. And then all of a sudden, it was like a 5-5 team that, you know, that wasn't as good. They couldn't stop anybody. He got hurt. He was really not really committed to playing. And then it happened again next year. He got hurt again. And then how committed was he to getting back and all that? Team was kind of treading water again. You know, had to win a game against Texas A&M at the very end just to get bowl eligible. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there were games. They could have beaten Alabama. They had Alabama on the ropes, but they didn't have him on the field.
Right.
There's games that they, I mean, basically his last game was like Central Michigan.
So we got some reliability questions.
Yeah, I mean,
availability questions.
Well, it's like
one
of those things,
like you really care
about football.
Yeah.
You really care, but the people at LSU are like, no, he cares. He gets hurt, but he has to have somebody with their arm around him all the time.
Then there's the Washington kids.
Okay.
Now, Washington is kind of developing a nice pipeline here to the NFL.
Well coached.
They always seem to be a little undersized.
Yeah.
But Washington, their corners are always, the tendencies I notice, they're scrappy as heck.
Uh-huh.
And they play hard.
They do.
Trent McDuffie, and the thing is with McDuffie and Gordon,
uh-huh,
it's difficult to kind of, I don't know, they're very close.
Well, one's clearly bigger than the other.
Yeah,
I mean, but
I kind of like
McDuffie.
I like Gordon, I think, a little bit more than McDuffie. Are you a McDuffie guy?
I'm a McDuffie guy. And I'll tell you this just real quick. I think because McDuffie, they play right and left.
Right.
I mean, you can see him play both sides. You don't have to say, oh, he's always on the right side and he's always tucked to the boundary so he can use the sideline as a defense. You know, he's not playing the whole field. No. These guys, they tend to line him up in off coverage more than they play press. So you really see them reacting more to the ball and the ability to adjust in the route. And when the way they pick up their men in route is, I think, is pretty
impressive.
They have
really nice recoveries.
Yeah, they really, really do. But when McDuffie does play some press, he does a good job of getting those short arms on those receivers, and he can redirect.
Yeah, he doesn't play small.
No, he doesn't play small at all. And I was worried, and scouts in the league were worried. Like, I had a couple of guys tell me, hey, man, this McDuffie, he's going to measure small. And I'm like, eh, okay, we'll see. You know, he's 5'10 and a half, so you may make him 5'11, 193. That's sure. not small. 5'11, 193 is not small. But I was worried about him being 5'8,
yeah.
183. You know, that's what I was worried about.
And I wondered if, you know, he would slip a little bit. I don't think he will. I think he was, he ended up getting a draft visit to go to Vegas. Yeah. I don't think Gordon did.
No, he did not.
That might show you, you know, maybe where people are thinking McDuffie well, might
the league is not. The league is not going to put some kid in the green room and just allow him to exactly. melt. Even though it's crazy TV. Yeah, you're not going to see that. But I will say this. The thing about Gordon, too, you could see him play in the slot, which he did against Stanford. I watched that game. But, I mean, he is square at the snap of the ball, and then you see them bail. And his movement again, the adjust, all that. There's no problem with his game when it comes to running, by the way. No problem at all. So the movement, I've seen him make tackles in the open field, but I've also seen him miss. I think you could say that about both those corners. McDuffie's super aggressive, but he'll miss. I think Gordon's the same way.
The one underrated guy that is probably, I mean, maybe he ends up being a third rounder. Maybe he ends up being a fourth rounder. I wonder where you have him, but my Conference USA guy, and I got a soft spot for Conference USA
I know
players.
You do.
Tariq Woolen out of UTSA.
Yeah.
Now, I like him because I think that he could be a Dan Quinn special. He just fits the mold. 6'4", super long arms.
Yeah.
But I got to see him play quite a bit in Conference USA, and I'm a fan, man. I mean, he's a guy that the arms, I think he also has some nice recovery speed. You mentioned redirecting some receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dude that I like his positioning, and I think that he's got a knack to just read where the ball's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking at a guy that could end up overperforming where he's drafted,
yeah,
he might be one of those players.
Yeah. I tell you what, I think you got the guy right. I really, really do. The thing about him is he's 6'4", he's 205, and he is super, super aggressive at times, and then he's super, super soft sometimes. You're like going, whoa, which player is showing up? The problem I had with him is I don't think his technique is – it could be a little hit and miss.
Sure.
And I think it might have to do with the length of how long he is.
Yeah.
Because long-legged guys, it takes them a little bit to turn and move, and you're thinking, I don't know, I'm not sure.
I think he might get a little uncomfortable against the faster receivers,
Oh, no, there's no credit. I mean, I said this in my notes. I said there's nothing really smooth or fluid about his game. It might be due to his size. I felt like there were snaps where he was freelancing a little bit, just kind of like, doing what he wanted to do. But to his credit, he came up with the play.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe I could say Western Kentucky, he's like, he gets smoked on a double move, but then he comes back and makes play after play after play after play. So here you are, aggressive, passive, long, tackle, make plays, not make plays. Last line of my notes is, he says, really good player, but one that might have you shaking your head after every game.
Sure. Any other corners that you like that you wanted to throw out there?
Yeah, you know what? If we talk about really, really long corners, but we also have to mention really a short guy. And I'll say this because
mentioning a short guy. Come
on. Well, Zion McCollum is a tall guy from Sam Houston, and I think he's a really, really good player. Had a chance to go to Utah. I learned this and then ended up at Sam Houston State, who won a national championship.
Yeah, they're playing good football there.
They're playing really, really good football there. I want to see you keep an eye on this Marcus Jones from Houston, who's 5'8", 174. And I say this because there's all those short daddies in those rounds, those fourth round short daddy guys. This guy is a dynamic player. He's a dynamic punt and kickoff return guy as well. And you know, what Bill Parcells taught us way back in the day, when I take you to the game, how many plays are you going to give me? I think Marcus Jones could give you a lot of plays playing as a nickel slot. I think he could play on all your special teams. I think he could be a dynamic returner in on your special teams as well when he has to do those things. Just, man, this guy is not afraid to tackle. He's not afraid to play the ball in the air. And he's, and you have a hard time getting away from him for how well he really, really runs and moves. Marcus Jones, University of Houston, 5'8", 174, short daddy to keep your eye on.
Hey, special teams as well.
Yep.
The third area of the football game that a lot of people overlook, but very, very important. All right, there's another edition of Trust the Tape as we get closer and closer to draft day. Again, thank you to our friends at Boomer Jacks.
Absolutely.
Go see them. You will never be disappointed. It is absolutely delicious.
You might bust this draft, but you're not going to bust anything at Boomer Jacks.
Absolutely.
They're
not.
All first round stuff.
That
going
is
on there.
Always a home run pick. Broadus, thank you so much, my
appreciate
friend.
Appreciate you, Willie Boy.
Happy Easter, happy Passover, and I think Ramadan's going on as well.
It is.
So happy Ramadan to all those that are celebrating as well. We will be back next week. Until then, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.